And hi there, welcome. It's Catholic Answers Live on your radio here for the next 2 hours. Good to have you tuned in along the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and streaming video on a number of social media platforms. I am Jerry Usher. I would say that I'm in for Cy Kellett. Usually when I'm here hosting, it's filling in for Cy, but you're not going to believe this. The San Diego Padres, you know, the Major League Baseball season just started, and Catholic Answers is located here in San Diego County, and I could not, the staff here couldn't believe it. Cy got a call out of the blue by the Padres who said, can you be our new play-by-play announcer? And Cy couldn't possibly pass an opportunity like that. So he is now going to be calling San Diego Padres baseball games. He may get by to host the show once in a while, but I'm going to be filling in for the foreseeable future until they find a suitable host for Cy. So keep that in your prayers, if you wouldn't. Let's all wish Cy a lot of luck on that new endeavor of his. Joining me here in this first hour, we have a Pope on the show, too, by the way, Monsignor Charles Pope. He's the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian, a vibrant Catholic parish community in Washington, D.C. He is a native of Chicago with a bachelor's degree in computer science. His interest in the priesthood stemmed from his experience as a church musician. He attended Mount St. Mary Seminary and was ordained in 1989. He is a pastor since 2000, and he's also led Bible studies in the U.S. Congress and at the White House in recent years, and he's recently penned an article titled, In the Winter of Faith, Just Keep Working. And we're going to talk about the seven deadly sins and a couple of them in particular. Monsignor Pope, welcome to the program.
Oh, good to be here. Thanks.
That's shocking news about Cy, isn't it?
I'm trying to look at my calendar and see what day this is, but we're going to have to see if we can squeeze him in.
Yeah. Well, if anybody has a question about the seven capital sins, the seven deadly sins, cardinal sins, you're welcome to call the program right now. It's 888-318-7884. If you just want to wish a fond farewell to Cy Kellett, you can do that. 888-318-7884. I'm Jerry Usher, in for Cy just for today, okay? Just to, you know, pull the curtain back on that April Fool's joke, which I'm sure didn't fool anybody. But Monsignor, sometimes we get fooled by certain root sins in our lives, don't we?
Yeah. You know, I thought we were going to talk a little bit today about this. It was sometimes called the seven deadly sins. Sometimes called the seven cardinal sins, like seven capital sins. What's it going to be? But these days, you got to be careful talking about cardinal sins. I'm sorry to say. So as you know, the seven capital or cardinal sins are sometimes the deadly sins, and there's seven of them. There's pride, greed, lust, envy, anger, envy, gluttony, and sloth. And we can certainly, you know, talk about all seven, but fundamentally, in a way, they're more, the ancient fathers actually called them the seven thoughts, and that's kind of a helpful thing because they're not just so much sins, they're attitudes or ways of thinking that involved. They're deeper than just sins. They're attitudinal, right. And they're some of them are so deep that we don't even know half the time when they're up and running.
Yeah, I know for me, many of them are quite actually a way of life. So
I have to say for all of us, you speak for every man.
Well, and you just enumerated the seven cardinal sins or capital sins or deadly sins. There are a couple that we want to especially focus on here for our purposes here. But I want to invite the listeners. You can call in to Catholic Answers Live. Again, it's 888-318-7884. If you feel like your life is maybe out of control in one of these areas, pride, again, lust, gluttony, avarice, sloth, envy, some of these sins that we're going to be talking about. If you have a struggle with one of them, maybe you want a little bit of pastoral advice. We can't go into too deeply on the program here for time purposes, of course, but I'm sure Monsignor Pope can give you a couple of quick tips on how to get to some of these areas under control in your life. It's 888-318-7884. And you did say, Monsignor, that you wanted to touch especially on, I believe you said, envy and sloth. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think they're often misunderstood the most. So let's talk about envy first. You know, envy is not the same as jealousy, especially if you – I'm pretty much following, just so you know, the Thomistic schema. And Thomas, of course, deals with these seven deadly sins in the midst of his Secunda Secundae in the Summa. But he's very clear to define envy in the following way. He says that it is sorrow or sadness at the goodness or excellence of another person because I take it to lessen my own excellence. Now, that last part's important. And it distinguishes it a little bit from jealousy. People sometimes just use envy and jealousy as synonyms. But envy really is far darker than jealousy. If I'm jealous of you, you got something I want, but I want the good, see? And whereas with envy, I want to destroy the good. I want to destroy it. So, for example, go back to the playground when we were kids. You know, there was always some kid in that front row. He had those thick glasses on, and he was always getting straight A's when the rest of us bombed out on the test. And, he was always up there answering the questions, and he was the favorite of the teacher. And so we'd take him out in the playground, and we said to him, look, you're making us look bad. No, and we'd rough him up a little bit. Stop being so excellent. Stop making us look bad. And we'd rough him up. Now, again, maybe you were never that cruel.
I was always that kid, Monsignor.
Okay. Oh, my. All right. Well, anyway. But you see, what was going on there, you know, in a kind of a, you know, childish way, but we were, instead of trying to imitate the good in him, saying, well, you got an A. Can you help me? Or, so I'm joyful that he got an A, and then I'm also zealous because I want to say, how can I get an A? So rather than having joy and zeal, we just simply want to destroy the good. Get him out of here so I don't look bad by comparison. Now, that's why St. Augustine calls envy the diabolical sin. Because it seeks to destroy the good. If only we would just want to imitate, even if sometimes jealousy wants to inordinately possess something that I can't reasonably have or shouldn't have, at least I see the goodness in it. But in envy, I want to destroy the goodness. And that's where I think there's an important distinction there to make with envy. I would also add that the other one I think, which is often most misunderstood, would be sloth, where sometimes, again, we think of it as mere laziness. Now, it often manifests as laziness, but it's, again, just to quote Thomas, that it's sorrow or sadness at the good things that God is offering me. Now, therefore, again, sometimes more often than not, oh, man, you know, he once says I can be holy. Well, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't know. What's on TV tonight? You know, so that could be a manifestation of kind of that lazy sloth, a sort of a heavy sorrow over the idea of being holy or seeing my life change for the better. But then there could be another approach to it where a guy says, look, I'm too busy. I'm running three businesses. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to pray. I got all these people to take care of. I got to run my business. No. So he's not lazy, but he's avoidant. So anything but lazy. So he's actually using work, and he becomes kind of a workaholic to avoid the good things of God. So you see the idea. It doesn't always manifest as laziness. The real heart of it is it's an aversion or a sorrow to the good things that God is offering.
Catholic Answers Live, first hour guest is Monsignor Charles Pope, and we are talking about the seven deadly sins, cardinal sins, capital sins, however you would like refer to them. And we are asking if you have any questions about any of these, you are welcome to call in and get to maybe further insight, further clarification. Maybe something Monsignor says, you're going to go, wait, you know, that's kind of what I'm dealing with in my life. Well, you're most welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. I am Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, who ought to be back tomorrow. And we are talking again about all seven of these capital sins, but especially zeroing in on envy and sloth. And let's get back to envy for a little bit here. You contrasted it with jealousy, a beautiful way that you put that. What does one, if one finds himself maybe falling prey to that, Monsignor, what's a good way to maybe kind of, you know, cut that out of one's life or make sure that you can kind of work against that?
Yeah, you know, to every sin, of course, and the deadly sins are certainly no exception. There are certain virtues to practice, you know, in contrast to them. Now, the two most obvious things in the tradition to combat envy are joy and zeal. So, when I see excellence in another person, or they receive something that's good, maybe a reward, or they get a job, or, you know, they win the lottery or something, you know. But I see something good happen. The first thing I should have for them is joy. This is good. Something good has happened to somebody in the human family. And, you know, if I'm able to, therefore, just rejoice for them. But the second thing, zeal. Now, it's not always possible to imitate every virtue. You know, for example, I'm never going to be, especially at this stage in my life, a great soccer player. It's just not happening. Okay, I'm never going to have 28-inch jeans again. It's never going to happen. But there are other things, though. When I see that someone's very prayerful, or I see that someone is very dedicated to being a good listener and so on, that now I can zealously try to imitate that. So joy and zeal are especially the first two medicines that we might seek, you know? So ask for the virtue of joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit called joy, and ask for zeal and excitement to imitate the glories I see. Just a couple other, just to say more in passing, but charity, because if my neighbor's blessed, I'm blessed, because we're all one human family. You know, if one member of the body is praised, everyone is praised, you know, and so on, as Paul reminds us.
Very good. Well, we're going to get into these virtues, or these sins, rather, a little bit more on the virtues, some of the actions we can take to remedy them if we find them in our lives. We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Answers Live, hour number one. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kella today, talking with Monsignor Charles Pope about the seven deadly sins. Not a bad time of the year, middle of Lent, to be thinking about these things. If you're working on any particular one of these in your life and you're trying to make headway during this Lenten season, call up and maybe Monsignor can help push you a little bit further along in that. 888-318-7884.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support. On the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I get up in the morning, I turn the radio on, listen to the Mass, listen to the early shows. I transition to my automobile, I flip it over on my iPhone, then start listening to it on the web. And then when I get in the car, I actually listen to it all the way to work. When I get to work, I actually even listen to it online while I'm sitting at my desk. I just love EWTN.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kella today. Pleased and honored to be with Monsignor Charles Pope. He is a pastor in Washington, D.C., and you hear him often on EWTN, and he has got, Monsignor, you've got a great new work here. I just want to bring our listeners and viewers' attention to Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered, almost 500 pages put out by our Sunday Visitor.
Yeah, it was it's one of the things I do for the Sunday Visitor for Akash about the last 7 or 8 years now, and that's a kind of a collection of some of the better questions, and we'll call them good answers. But for me, it's a little bit of a challenge because I have to stay more brief than I'm used to being.
Right.
I'm not known for brevity, but it's a good discipline, and I love that. I enjoyed helping to compile the book too.
Well, we've got a number of questions from callers, Monsignor, but I wanted to stay on sloth for just a moment here, because you, in the notes that you prepared for the program, you used a word that I think some people may not be familiar with. I am somewhat familiar with, and I may not even pronounce it right. I've heard it pronounced acedia or achedia or achedia. Can you talk about that? Because there's even a book out that I've seen, The Noonday Devil. And I'm sure you're familiar with it. And it talks about the seriousness of this sin in a person's spiritual life.
Yeah. You know, as is the case with the Latin and Greek words, they always have a much richer idea than sometimes comes across in English. And frankly, even in English now, sloth is kind of becoming an old or kind of an outdated word. People have heard, but they're not always sure what it means. So I think at the end of the day, acedia is, which is the Greek equivalent for sloth. It refers to not just a kind of a sleepiness or a laziness, but an oppressive sorrow. Because, you know, you hear, and I know this when I'm preaching, I say, you know, the Lord is offering you a completely new life. You can be utterly free of your sins, or you can start to see sins put to death, and grace has come alive. You'll love people more. You might even love your enemy. And people say, oh, gosh, that sounds like, you know, I have to give up some of my favorite sins, and I kind of like my anger, and I love to hate my enemy. And, you know, I mean, there's a kind of an oppressive sorrow that sets in. If you don't think that sloth is strong, just try to pray for 10 minutes and watch how quickly your flesh wants to talk about or think about or do anything else. You know, and it's almost a constant battle to just overcome this just sort of heaviness of spirit that weighs us down and makes us feel very sorrowful and as I say, it's an oppressive sorrow. It's not just a sorrow or an aversion. It's oppressive. And that's the nature of the word acedia.
So is the solution to that just like fighting through it? You've just got to, really kind of power through it almost. Is that it? Until you get to a place where this sort of lifts a little bit? Does it ever lift? I presume it can.
Mm, it does. Yeah? You know, I will say that I know that from both spiritual as well as just ordinary things. You know, like I can play the organ now. I'm not a great concert organist, but I can certainly play hymns, and I do all the footwork and the pedal boards. But I tell you, there was times when I just had to sit there and learn my scales and my arpeggios, just learn them. And then, you know, once you begin to master that, you get excited, and now you can go on to the next stages, and you really build on it. So that's just an ordinary way of saying, yeah, the real battle, it is a battle, though. It's a battle. And St. Thomas, for example, talks about when it comes to some sins, we have to battle them indirectly, especially like lust, you know, because if you try to battle that directly, you're thinking about the thing you don't want to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, when it comes to something like sloth, that this you battle directly. You say, okay, all the more reason I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do this. See, my flesh is in rebellion. By gosh, we are going to prayer. We're going to adoration. We're going. Flesh, too bad. And you battle it. And, you know, each battle will help you the next one to win. And you build in a good beachhead. And, yes, it gets easier. But the battle will, in some areas, always be there.
Right. All right. Well, we have a lot of phone calls, like I said. So we are going to the telephone now. It's Catholic Answers Live with Monsignor Charles Pope in this mid-Lent kind of checkup on where we are in battling the seven deadly sins. 888-318-7884. We'll go to Chicago first. And Chris is listening on 88.5 FM. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program with Monsignor Pope.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is related to just a daily battle I have with belief in God. I became Catholic about 4 years ago, and I try to listen every day and pray. And I'm wondering if that could be possibly pride getting in my way. I try to approach it different ways, philosophically, intellectually, and it's a constant battle, especially when I start to think about the story of Jesus and as a baby and Mary, and I just want to reject it. And yet I truly want to believe, you know. I wonder if it's pride. I don't know.
Well, it certainly has the nature of a temptation, though. You say, you know, you're reading a story, and there's something in you that says, I want to reject that. So see it, first of all, as a temptation. Now, remember, with temptations, temptations of themselves are not sinful because, of course, we know Jesus was tempted. Temptations are simply a thought that enters into our mind, either from our flesh, the world, or the devil. And we have to say, well, that's a temptation. I haven't sinned yet. I just have a decision to make. Now, let me ask you, though, to think about this. It might be pride, and you might be onto something here. Because pride is where we sort of overestimate our own excellency and our, you know, if I can't immediately understand something or I don't have the proper evidence in front of me, I won't accept that. But let me ask you to think about something. Isn't most of what you know? I'm talking about faith in God or the Bible or any of that stuff, but just in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. You know that by faith. You weren't there to see that. Somebody you trusted told you, but it could be a big lie. It could be a conspiracy from the Italians to try to gain prominence in America. I don't know. But the point is, I'm simply making is that there's a certain sense of we settle down pretty quickly in knowing most things by faith. And this is lowercase f faith, not supernatural faith. So just maybe that's where you might find the pride dimension kind of coming in, that somehow you got to kind of be, pardon me for putting it this way, but like the rest of us poor slobs, to walk by faith, not by sight. That is to say, at some point, beg God, look, Lord, give me the supernatural gift to just believe what you've taught simply because you've taught it rather than because I have all the human evidence in front of me. And you can't be deceived, and you'll never deceive. And you said it, and that right now is enough for me, Lord. Give me that gift, that supernatural gift of faith.
What do you think, Chris? Does that help?
Yes, it does. I think I kind of thought perhaps starting with obedience to what I'm to God. And I like that prayer, ask for the supernatural, for capital F, because it is true. You know, most of what we know, whether we're talking about air, it's called air, you know, is by faith in it. It just seems like sometimes it's so such a story that I can't get down to the ground of it. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I like that approach.
The other thing you're mentioning there is that, as St. Ambrose says, you know, that theology or growing in our faith is fides querens intellectum. So you make the act of faith, but the richness and the understanding of it unfolds. But the step one is you make the act of faith. God has said this. This story is true. And I want to now begin to allow it to grow more deeply in my understanding of it. And that's certainly part of the our life.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Have a blessed day there in Chicago. We're going to go up a little bit north and east of there to Buffalo. Bill is listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hey, Jerry. I guess this is the closest I can say that I have talked to the Pope on the phone. I wanted to ask the question about how we can use the seven deadly sins in an examination of conscience. And I know that to remember them, we could use the mind trick or the acronym pale gas to kind of remember the difference for the first letter of each of the deadly sins. But so, Father, if you could kind of expound on that a little.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I do a lot of work with priests. I do a lot of priest retreats now and things. And I'm always saying to the guys, you know, look, we've got to just get into a better way of looking not just to the external sins that we commit, but also to the deeper drives of sin. So I think the first thing to do, there's some good books out there that I could recommend on the seven deadly sins. I think Peter Kreef's book on Back to Virtue, and he does a good job there. Maybe at the break I'll have to pull one off my shelf and remember, but it's called The Seven Deadly Sins. But, you know, any good book or meditation, even I have on my website right now on MonsignorPope.com, and, I blog for the Archdiocese at blog.adw.org, and I'm going through the seven deadly sins right now, one by one. I have the kind of, but I have in the first the installment, which is up right now, a quick definition of each of the seven deadly sins, and take it and study it and read it. These are some ways to do it. I couldn't recommend that enough, because the danger, I think, for all of us is that we sort of turn confession into sort of a perfunctory, well, I did this, I did that, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. And those are mostly externalities, but the question is why? Ask the revolutionary question, why? And where we begin to get to the root of that is with these seven deadly sins. And our confessions get richer because we're going now to those attitudes. You know, why do I get angry? You know, where's that coming from? You know, and things like that. So I think you're on to a very important source there.
For your website, do you spell out the whole word Monsignor, or is it just MSGR?
MSGR, P-O-P-E. .com.
Oh, okay, that's easy.
Yeah, and that'll get you over to my blog as well.
Thanks.
Good.
All right, Bill. Good luck chatting with the real Pope sometime, too. We hope you get to do that, actually. 888-318-7884. Monsignor from off the air, Kathy called in. Couldn't hold on, though, but she would like you to explain in a little bit of detail what gluttony is.
Yeah, well, this is... I like so many struggle with this, but it's basically it's overindulgence or overconsumption of anything, really, to the point of waste. But we usually limit the terminology to matters of food and drink. But it could extend to other areas, bodily areas in life, especially. And so it definitely regards the body, essentially, and the concupiscence of the flesh, so to speak. So again, what we're talking about is, again, an overindulgence in food or drink, in a point that, in other words, it's inordinate or it's irrational. We eat beyond what we need, we drink beyond what we need to drink, and because we overindulge, again, it leads us often to a laziness or to a self-satisfaction, and it's harder to pray. It tends to darken the intellect. We know alcohol darkens the intellect, but also, you know, heavy food, and, you know, you just feel tired all the time. You know, we've all had a big meal, and like, oh, I want to take a nap. And so, again, the key to life, of course, in all things is moderation. By the way, including moderation, there is a time for a feast. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we see that the real secret to life and enjoying the good things of God is in moderation. And so that's the what we call the sin of gluttony.
Well, and I guess, Monsignor, it's going to be a little bit relative when it comes to gluttony. I mean, somebody mm-hmm. who's 105 pounds is going to get full of food more than somebody who's, you know, 200 pounds. But yeah. How should a person, just in a practical sense, kind of make a determination when they've had enough or when they're maybe crossing that line? I think I've committed gluttony at times in my life, but I felt just absolutely awful when I did. Mm-hmm. But there's other times when I just maybe eat more than I should have, and I don't have mm-hmm. that bad of a feeling. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean,
I wish I could tell you I'm so virtuous and I got it all figured out, Jerry. I struggle with my weight and so on. I know that one of the keys that I've learned is to try to listen to your body. And when your stomach is starting to feel a little full, you're where you need to be. And it's hard at first because, see, the other problem is that we associate a lot of other things with food. So we're sitting at the table. You know, and we're sitting and we're talking and we're sitting and we're talking and we're eating and we're talking and we're sitting and we're eating and we pass the wine and we pass the wine again and someone comes and fills the glass. And so it's associated with other things. And I think that at some level, this is where we have to also be careful. It's interesting because Thomas lists some of these, like what he calls daughters of gluttony. Each of the seven deadly sins has something he calls daughters, which are sort of immediate offspring. And listen to some of these. You'll see that the daughters
hold that,
of gluttony.
That thought just for a second, Monsignor. Sure. Yeah, if you
yeah,
want to
hear our music.
I want you to pick up on the other side. That's important. And I actually learn lessons from my dog. You know, when he's full, he stops eating. Doesn't matter if it's his favorite food, he just walks away. I say, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Catholic Answers Live with Monsignor Charles Pope. We're going to continue in a minute. I'm Jerry Escher in for Cy Kellett talking about the seven deadly sins. Give us a call.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Whom or what are you praying for?
Call in and share with us on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now we're going to get back to more Catholic Answers Live.
I recognize that voice. Jerry Escher in for Cy Kellett. Okay, we'll let you all behind the curtain a little bit. We record those every day after the show for the next day's show. And I recorded that, and then they said, well, wait a minute, aren't you hosting Catholic Answers Live today? They said, that's going to play right before your voice comes back on Catholic Answers Live. I said, okay, not much we can do about that. But anyway, Monsignor Pope is with us here. You know how the radio stuff works, Monsignor. You are part of that fantastic show, Morning Glory.
Yeah, I enjoy that, getting up early every morning. Yeah, you know, it's that's always the challenge. But a good cup of coffee will be fine for me, and I enjoy. I work with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and
speaking
Corey
of getting
Purvis,
up early,
yeah, he gets up at 3:30, unlike you all on the West Coast. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's a nice morning drive show. We do some news based conversations at the beginning, but we also try to delve a little more deeply into different topics, like the liturgy or moral theology topics or spirituality topics, and spend about 10-15 minutes talking about them.
Very good. 7 a.m. Eastern Time on most of these EWTN affiliates. Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold, Monsignor Pope, and many others. Morning Glory on many of these stations. All right. Tom and Maria, hang on. We're going to get right to you. But also, you were going to tell us a little bit about the daughters of all of these, which is, I mean, yeah. for many of us, Monsignor, it'd be enough for us to look at this list and go, okay, I got my hands full just with these seven. Okay, yeah. Now you're going to tell me they each have offspring.
Yeah, that's what we mean by calling them, you know, kind of root sins or desire, you know, because they do lead to other sins. But just listen to what Thomas says, because this gets to what you were talking about there, Jerry, a little bit. It says, the daughters of gluttony are unseemly joy, scurrility, namely being vulgar or coarse, uncleanness, loquaciousness, dullness of mind in regards to understanding. So again, and I think we can see some connection there to these things, but you know, the kind of unseemly joy and goofing off and sometimes being vulgar and coarse that comes with drinking too much and sometimes eating too much. You know, we just spend too much time at the table talking. And again, I think it's a beautiful thing to have nice meals with people and so on, but what we tend to do is a lot of mindless eating and drinking, and before you know it, you're past your limits and all of a sudden, you know, things can. So this is, I think, one of the things that it's about. It's got to be about general self-control in a certain sense that I've had enough, or I'm going to just push the glass away, or I'm going to push the plate away for a while and just enjoy the conversation. You know, what am I really trying to do here? See, is it just to eat? No, I've had plenty to eat. So let me just stay in the conversation and maybe just a little nibble occasionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's about the best I can recommend.
Yeah, make it about the fellowship. Yeah. Okay, Kathy, off the air, thank you for that phone call. And Tom in Connersville, watching on YouTube Live. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Jerry Usher here with Monsignor Pope, and you get to ask your question now. Hi. Hey, Tom, how are you? Hello, Tom?
Mm. Here.
There he is. Oh. Okay, we got you now. Go ahead, Tom.
How you doing, Monsignor?
I'm doing well, thank you, yes.
I was wondering, why is it that the seven virtues that combat the seven deadly sins, we have to practice, and there are some people that they have these the seven virtues, and it's so easy for them, and the rest of us are like, I have to practice this virtue.
Okay. Yeah, why is it so hard for it? By the way, you mentioned the seven virtues. I mean, let's just list those two. Now, they're not necessarily lined up exactly against the seven deadly sins. They're sort of a world in their own, all right? But the seven virtues, there's three of them that are supernatural: faith, hope, and charity. And then you've got the four cardinal virtues, which is prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. So those are the seven virtues to which you speak. And by the way, the entire Summa of Thomas, the second part of the second part, which is kind of his moral treatise, that's the outline is the virtues. And rather than preach on sin, he preaches on virtue. And where sin comes in is that it falls out as an excess or a defect of a virtue. So that's an interesting, you know, just quick tour of how Thomas sets up the whole second part of the Summa. Now, that said, why is it that some people find virtue so much easier and others don't? Well, I think I'm going to guess. I want to maybe make a distinction in what you said, that there's some virtues that come more easily to you, and some that are more difficult. And I'm just going to guess that if everybody really sits down and thinks about it, that's going to be true. So I think to some degree, we all have certain areas in our life where we're going to struggle more than others. You know, some people are more naturally able to believe, like we had a call earlier, that someone struggles a lot with that. Other people are going to struggle a lot more maybe to you know, to have hope, or they're going to struggle with temperance and so on. So now another thing I want to just say by way of a quick distinction is that I think another thing we tend to do, there are certain sins that cause us more shame than others, which aren't always even the most harmful, but things like, you know, excess of food or drink, matters of sexuality will cause us a lot of shame. Whereas sometimes what comes out of my mouth all day long doesn't cause me the kind of shame it ought to cause. I mean, when we go on gossiping or being unkind or cruel even at times. So I just think at some level, as we try to sort out why some people seem to have virtues and that I don't have and so on, let's just say that we're all going to have, because of our histories and simply because of the fact that God permits certain struggles for us. He doesn't cause them, but he permits them to kind of keep us humble and remind us that we need his grace. Now, that's a general answer. So I know that you've broadened it. You say some people are just virtuous and some are more vicious. I'm going to sense as part of upbringing, but as I say, no human person is bereft of the graces they need to at least make a beginning. Let's target the ones I need to work on first, and let's work with a spiritual director, and let's get started, you know. And you, like everyone can make progress.
How's that, Tom?
Yeah, that kind of explains my wife. Thank you.
Did you have something else, Tom, or was that satisfactory?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you for watching on YouTube Live. We appreciate that. It's Catholic Answers Live, our first hour here on this Monday. And I'm Jerry Usher, in for Cy Kellett, talking about the seven cardinal sins, the seven deadly sins, as they are sometimes called, seven root sins. If you have a question about any one of them, want to know a little bit more about any of them, how they can operate in our lives, how we can overcome them or at least battle against them, 888-318-7884 is the number, and Vero Beach is where we're going to go next and talk with Maria on Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Hello to Monsignor, too. Yeah.
Good. Hello back.
I am 72 years old, and I've been taking medication for over 30 years for emotional problems. Mm-hmm. Four of the medications work on my brain. Now, for all that time, I've been struggling to not spend the day sleeping. Mm. But every day after breakfast, after like an hour, I get really sleepy. Mm-hmm. And I end up sleeping like 2.5 hours at least. It's a struggle, a real struggle. And I have talked to priests and doctors, but for some reason I'm not making progress.
Well, let me if I can, be careful here, because you've got, you know, medicines and things you're taking, and you need to stay in close contact with the doctors, and I think a good spiritual director, too, who could also work with your doctors, because this is a unique situation. And my poor sister, Marianne, was afflicted much in her life, and she died many years ago now, but I know how those meds can have a very soporific effect. And this may not have anything to do with virtue or vice. It could just simply be that this is part of the cross you're asked to carry. So I would say talk carefully to your spiritual director, because I don't want to make any real general observations about a very specific situation. But I hope you'll always remember that your struggle is a real one, and God loves you, and he's going to make adjustments. And don't be too harsh or critical. Work with your spiritual director or confessor. There may be some things you should do to sort of rouse yourself to be less prone to sleep. But that's I think it's just too many things here for me to make a good, strong comment because of the medicines and the effects.
Okay, Maria?
I see. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Monsignor.
Yeah, bless you.
We'll be praying for you, Maria, and please do likewise for us as well. And be at peace. And as Monsignor said, talk to your, if you have a spiritual director, which Monsignor is a good, maybe a good little point to insert here on the program right now. Not a lot of lay people think about getting a spiritual director. I'm sure you have one. You're a priest. I spent 6 years in formation for the priesthood, going back about 20-some years, and I've maintained spiritual direction since then, probably because of that. Yeah. But that's not a concept that's really, that common, I guess, among a lot of lay people, is it?
Yeah, and I think part of it's time, part of it's the limits. There are not enough trained spiritual directors. They don't always have to be priests, but people often want them to be priests. But beyond that, though, I will say that even if you can't get a regular spiritual director, one thing that can help you in making progress with confession is a regular confessor, even if it's just going to the confessional in church. But it's kind of the same priest, father, he starts to know a little bit more about it. And because some people, and by the way, everyone's entitled to do this. You're entitled to anonymity. You're not required to go to the same priest and so on. But if you just sort of shop around and you're too embarrassed to really go into things, things make less progress. So I think somewhere where there's somebody who can maybe go a little more in depth with you and your soul, and is always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Monsignor, hang on just for a minute. We're going to get our final break in this hour of the program on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. Just want to let all of you who are listening know, free is a great price, and free is what Catholic Answers loves to hold out to you. And at Catholic Answers, they've got lots and lots of questions on purgatory over the years, going back to the start of the apostolate, which is probably, what, 35 or so years ago, and the start of the radio show 21 years ago. It remains one of those bugaboo questions, even for many Catholics. We don't understand it, have a tough time wrapping our minds around it. So that's why Catholic Answers has put together a brand new ebook specifically on purgatory. And you will visit the Catholic Answers Facebook page right now, and you can download your free copy. It's called Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History, and the Church. I'll give you that title again, Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History, and the Church. If you get asked about this by a non-Catholic or anti-Catholic family members or friends, you will have a resource now you can either put in front of them, or it will equip you to, like I say, be able to answer from not only what the church says, what the leaders of the church say, what history says, but of course what they want to know. Where does it say this in the Bible? So go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page right now, and you can download this free ebook from your friends at Catholic Answers.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The prayers of the elderly are powerful. Why? Because you learn in old age to depend upon God. There's no one else. Because you are still made to the image and likeness of God, no matter how old you are. You're valuable to God. Don't let anybody tell you you're not.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Still time to get you on the air in this first hour of Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. We are talking about the seven deadly sins with Monsignor Charles Pope, and I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. And Monsignor, you know, you've touched upon all seven of them a little bit. We've gotten some calls on some in particular. You and I were talking off the air, and it was a little bit surprising to me. You had asked me, you know, which of the seven that I thought was probably the least confessed. And I thought maybe pride, because people are, you know, too ashamed to confess pride. And then I thought, well, lust, because, you know, that's an area which it carries a lot of shame with it, you know, and people, we kind of tend to be, you know, kind of clam up about things like that. You actually said that it is greed, though. It's greed.
Yeah, greed. I think very few people talk about greed in their life. It's very easy, because of the culture we live in, which is very class-oriented, to say, well, it's always that rich guy, that guy that earns a dollar more an hour. He's the greedy guy. I'm not greedy. I live simply. And we also live in a culture that kind of says to us, you never have enough. You know, you need the upgrade. You need a bigger house. So we're always sort of schooled in this, you know, you don't have enough. You need more. You need more. You need more. And so I think that greed is very underconfessed. And I got to tell you, though, greed causes great, great harm. You know, just look, just starting with your credit card. But beyond that, you know, we find that so many people are working such long hours and bills, and we want more and more, and it's never and never enough. And meanwhile, we hardly get to know each other. Our family, we seldom sit down. We're just all running. It's not just about money and wealth. It's so many things to do. I've got to do this. All these enrichments, these comforts. It's endless, endless, and it just takes a terrible toll on us. And at some point, we have to finally say, Lord, it's enough. You've given me so much. I need to live more simply now. Mm. And the most important things in life aren't things at all. They're the people I love and yeah. You.
Well, and when it comes to greed, like you said, it could probably be you don't have to necessarily be, you know, living the lifestyle of the rich and famous, right? I mean, you could have modest means and still perhaps be falling victim to the sin of greed.
Yeah, greed is the insatiable desire for more. It's the excessive desire for not just wealth and possessions, but comforts. And so many of the things that we just think we can't live without. And, you know, I mean, think of those cell phones we run around with. I mean, Remember, you were old enough to remember there was a time we didn't have them, and we somehow got through life, you know. And I'm not saying get rid of your cell phone. I'm just saying so many of the things that we just think we can't live without, we did all right with without them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can still remember not only the landline, but a party line, Monsignor. I don't know if you remember what that was, but two families living next to each other sharing a phone line. You had to pick up the phone and make sure they weren't on it so you could make a call. What do you think is behind greed? Is it insecurity? Is it a lack of trust in God's providence? I suppose it consists of a lot of different underlying causes.
Yeah, I think people tend to hoard because they think, well, I might not have enough for tomorrow or the next day. But, you know, the idea is we ask God to give us our daily bread, not our monthly bread, not our yearly. Just take care of me each day, Lord. And there's a kind of a trust that we have to build in that, Lord, you know, it's more than enough. You've been very good to me. And I may not have everything I want, but I'll certainly have what I need. I'm just going to trust you.
Yeah. Monsignor Charles Pope here. We've got about another 7 or 8 minutes left in the program. You're certainly welcome to join us by phone with your question on the seven deadly sins, 888-318-7884. As I look at some of the notes that you provided for us for the show, Monsignor, and you put this beautiful schema together here and this graphic, this visual image of a tree, and you've got all the seven deadly sins and concupiscence of the flesh, concupiscence of the eyes, and down at the root of the tree, you have inordinate self-love. Now, is that because this sort of is where all of these are born?
Yeah, it's really the deepest root, or it's kind of the trunk of the tree, or you might call it the taproot, whatever helps you to envision it. But ultimately, behind all, underneath all of this is inordinate self-love. And we're called to love God with our whole heart, our whole strength, and our whole self, and our neighbor is ourself. But we just get very, very focused on ourself, what we think, what we want, what we think is right. And so we have, there's a quote here from 1 John that really began kind of the origin, if you will, of the seven deadly sins. It's from John. It says here, 1 John chapter 2, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes from the not from the Father, but from the world." And so again, we start to see that the three areas, concupiscence of the flesh, pride of life, and concupiscence of the eyes. And that's where the seven sins break off from there. Concupiscence of the flesh is lust and gluttony. Pride of life is vanity, sloth, envy, and anger. And then concupiscence of the eyes is avarice or greed.
Yeah. Oh, happy fault? I thought it was a happy fault. Felix Culpa.
They brought us so great a redeemer.
That's right. Yeah, you got to add on that second part there. Well, what if somebody's listening right now, Monsignor? You've talked about these, and we call them the deadly sins. And if somebody says, oh, I struggle with that, you know, I'm in real big trouble here. I'm a victim of a deadly sin. I can't overcome this, or there's no forgiveness for it. Why are they called that, and how should we sort of keep a mental and spiritual balance about these?
Well, they're called deadly because, again, the wages of sin is death. And these sins are not only problematic because they're sins in themselves, but because they tend to produce other sins, or they're at the root of a lot of other sins that come from them. So they're the ones we ought to pay special attention to. And as I said, maybe then just thinking them as sins, they're attitudes, they're thoughts or attitudes that afflict us. So again, the idea that in pride, I just simply regard myself too highly. I think I've got all the answers. I know everything. I don't need you. I don't need God. I don't need the gifts. I know better. So this is an attitude as well as a sin, and it produces, again, a lot of just foolishness. I don't need to listen to the traditions or the teachings of the church. You know, I'm a modern man. All this is just it just completely sends away such a rich treasury of knowledge. So that's, you know, and in greed, I think, well, I need more, I need more. No, that's not true. You have to battle that thought. I don't always need more. In fact, sometimes less is more. Simplifying my life and staying focused on the central things. And so these are attitudes or thoughts. And so I think that if we focus on them as that, we can start to say you battle thoughts with thoughts. How did Jesus battle every temptation against Satan? He quoted Scripture. Mm-hmm. He quoted Scripture. That's not the mind of God. This is the mind of God. And that's why Scripture is so important for us. It's why studying our faith, listening to Catholic Answers, all the ways we can grow in our faith and start to come to the mind of Christ and think more like God thinks rather than the world and our flesh thinks.
Well, in our final couple minutes, we are, of course, still in the season of Lent, and the Church calls us to a life of prayer and penance and almsgiving. And these certainly would have to be ways that we can at least begin to address some of these in our lives and develop more of a spiritual muscle, so to speak, and maybe a little bit of a inoculation against some of these deadly sins taking over our lives.
Yeah. Amen. In fact, the very idea of these Lenten practices is, again, once again, to just to get just to edge a little forward in greater self-mastery. I can go for the season of Lent without wine or without TV or Facebook or whatever. You know, that's not just to give up the good thing. It's self-mastery. I can make progress. I am not simply the victim of thoughts or attitudes or drives. I am a free human agent graced by God, and by God I can do it. And that's where in Lent we receive special graces to sort of enter into that in a small way so we learned it in a bigger way.
Yeah, well, anybody who's listening, if you feel like your Lent hasn't gone that well, or you know, you just haven't made it what you wanted to, well, start again, begin anew, you know, and start now and make it your best Lent ever. Monsignor Charles Pope, author of Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered, that is put out by our Sunday Visitor. I presume EWTN Religious Catalog probably has that.
It does.
And also your other book on the commandments, right, that you have?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments. I stole it. It's actually brief. I'm not known for brevity, but yeah? It's actually pretty brief. Yeah.
Wrote that on a plane flight or what?
No. But I wrote it as a series, actually, of flyers for the parish as we meditated on a different commandment each week for a period. Yeah.
Is that out? It's out already? It's been published or it's coming out?
Yeah, Tan Publications. It's been out about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Well, Monsignor, again, how would you sum up this conversation here? People are listening right now. Mm-hmm. If they want to know more about the seven deadly sins and what, you know, how to take measures against it slowly, methodically, mm-hmm. make progress in the spiritual life, what mm-hmm. are some places to start?
Yeah. Well, as I said, I think a very good book to go to is Peter Kreef's Back to Virtue. I think it's a very readable thing that brings not just, it doesn't just talk about the sins, but it talks about solutions, the virtues. What virtues to apply to battle these drives. And so it's a very good book for that. Of course, my own blog, if I could just plug it again, blog.adw.org is the direct address. So just go to monsignorpope.com, MSGRPOP.com. I'm running an entire series on that this next 7 days. And each day we'll have a different flyer. So study them, learn them, but don't be overwhelmed by them. These are things that we can battle, and God gives us graces and virtues, and we don't just have vices, we also have virtue.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. There's always the right answer for what ails us in the spiritual life. Monsignor Charles Pope, thank you so much for your time, and if you would give us a quick little prayer and your priestly blessing to end this hour, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, Lord, we need your love, we need your mercy and your grace, and I do now ask your blessing upon all who listen to this beautiful apostolate of Catholic Answers. Please, Lord, bless this apostolate, bless this great, great ministry in the Church, and bless all of our listeners. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Best to you, and we'll keep reminding people to catch you and the gang on Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern Time on most of these EWTN affiliates, and also go to your website, Monsignor, MSGR, MonsignorPope.com. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Well, it may be a good segue from talking about virtues and deadly sins and all of that. All of this is about the end game, and that is getting to heaven. And that is going to be our topic in the next hour of Catholic Answers Live. Elizabeth Kelly is going to be here, and you are welcome to start calling in with your questions about heaven right now. Now, it's doubtful that she's been there and give you a bird's eye, an experienced view of what heaven is like. But we certainly know certain things about heaven. And so if you have any questions about the reality and the nature of heaven, and maybe your kids ask you a little bit about heaven from time to time. If you have difficulty seeing beyond the trials and challenges of this life, that this life presents, and what heaven is going to be like, and she can certainly answer questions like that. Here's the number. It's 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You can also post your comments, of course, on YouTube Live and Facebook and Periscope. So give us a call. Elizabeth Kelly, she's the author of several books, including the highly acclaimed Jesus Approaches, What Today's Woman Can Learn About Healing. She's a professor of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas, so she will be with us in hour number two. Also want to get a plug in for my radio show. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, heard on many of these EWTN stations. Debbie will be traveling tomorrow. She's actually headed to a pledge drive in Cleveland, so I'll be hosting the show by myself. It's at noon Eastern time with a replay at midnight Eastern time on many of these stations, and tomorrow is our monthly Whom or What Are You Praying For program. And that is where we invite you to call in with any particular prayer intentions that you might have. So please be lining those up and be sure and call in to the program again tomorrow. Also, want to make this up since I didn't get it in the first hour. Carrie Beck is going to let me know if I don't mention this. It's store-wide sale going on at Catholic Answers. The annual spring store-wide sale is now underway, and you've got new resources by Dawn Eden, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, and more, including the newest book by Monsignor Charles Pope that we talked about here on the program, Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered. And this is going to be a great resource for you to have. I'm thumbing through it right now. And they are really digestible questions and answers, but there are a lot of them in there. It's almost a 500-page work. So we encourage you to get a copy of that from Catholic Answers during their spring store-wide sale, which is underway right now. Just enter promo code SPRING19 at checkout, and you will save 15% off store-wide. Again, my thanks to Monsignor Pope for being with us here in hour number one, and Elizabeth Kelly comes along in hour number two to answer your questions about heaven. You can start dialing right now, 888-318-7884.